Welcome to The Marketing Menu, the delicious podcast with regular, relevant content to help your business grow and thrive. Jargon-free, easy-to-understand marketing tools with effective tips and tricks, and guaranteed, no cheese.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to The Marketing Menu with me, Liz, and Nikki. And a slight change of plan, listeners, we had planned to talk about radio and TV advertising this week, but in light of Twitter's announcement, we've decided to talk about why your business should have a social media policy and how to create one.
Yeah, we're not convinced, are we, Liz, about the Twitter 280 characters?
No, but we'll reserve judgment until we see how some of the bigger players operate. My fear is that the people who this is trying to help, and by that I mean smaller businesses who are trying to get more followers, will be the very ones who find it hard to come up with engaging content.
Yeah, apparently in the trial, only 5% of tweets sent were longer than the 140 characters, and only 2% were more than the 190. But those who did use the longer tweets apparently got more followers, more engagement, and spent more time on the site.
Interesting. I have to say, I like the fact that Twitter was brief. And could be used to signpost to other social media channels like Facebook, where you could go into more detail.
Yeah, and I also worry that people will start to think that because they've got more characters and therefore their message is actually going to be watered down a little bit. Funnily enough, I did run a Twitter poll yesterday asking people whether they liked the new or the old. And interestingly, 60% came back and said the new, which surprised me.
Really?
Now, obviously, it's not very scientific, a test, but I guess it's interesting. Perhaps, you know, we're not in general agreement with the masses here.
We will see. We'll keep you posted, listeners. So, on to social media policy.
Yes, we covered how social media can help your business way back in podcast 8, so that's worth referring back to if you need a refresh about how it can work for your business. But in that podcast, we also briefly touched on how to behave on social media. So I guess today is about going into a little bit more detail on that, Liz.
Good idea. So just a reminder of the benefits if you're using social media as part of your business marketing strategy. Obviously, it can help establish your brand, improve customer service, and help you be seen amongst competitors.
Plus, it is obviously a low-cost form of marketing. It can help build that brand loyalty with your customers where they share content, and it should form part of your PR strategy.
I think the biggest challenges that we both hear from clients is time.
Yeah.
People think they have to spend a lot of time on it. And in particular, thinking about what they're going to say.
I agree. And quite often, they are trying to do too much, I think, by spreading themselves too thinly over too many platforms, rather than actually focusing on the ones where their customers are, and that may make them a little bit more effective.
Yeah, absolutely. So the key to success is to have a plan. We always bang on about plans,
don't we? Oh, we're getting boring.
You need to target a specific audience and deliver engaging content. Tune into podcast 3, where we talk about crushing it with storytelling for ideas about what you could share.
Now, I guess a lot of people will think, oh, you know, I don't need a social media policy. I do it all for myself, or perhaps, you know, I leave it to somebody else in the team. This is exactly the reason why you should have one. It sets out clearly how you operate on social media accounts and means that anybody new then coming into the team or taking over the posting is going to know exactly what's expected.
Yeah, the social media policy can form part of your PR policy and can ensure your reputation online is protected. It provides clear guidelines for employees about how to behave on social media, which is pretty crucial, really, when representing your business, and determines what is and isn't acceptable.
So why then is a social media policy or company best practices needed?
Well, the world's changing fast, isn't it? And how we communicate is changing even faster. It's a growing phenomenon embraced by all generations. There are great benefits to today's technology and its widespread use, but there are also risks. Of course, it can also get the company and you into legal trouble with government agencies.
We don't want that.
No, other companies, more important, customers or the general public. It can diminish the brand name by creating negative publicity for your business. Owners, partners, as well as yourself or your team. It can cause damage to the company by releasing non-public information. and can undermine your competitive advantage, and ultimately it could cost you your job at the company.
Yeah, there are many, many instances of that.
Absolutely.
Sometimes, aren't there? Quite high-profile ones sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'd suggest that most of these won't trouble companies if employees are using common sense and good judgment in their online interaction. And it also draws a line between private use and work.
I think that's an important point, actually. A lot of people think that because they have a personal Facebook or Twitter account, that they know how to use it.
So true.
But it's a completely different ball game, isn't it, when it comes to using them for business?
Yeah, absolutely right. And this is where you need to protect, you know, obviously, your company's reputation. You obviously can't risk somebody posting a personal opinion, responding to another tweet inappropriately, or sharing posts that have no relevance to your own business.
And just to mention here that you could also include any email policy you have and set out that any online post shouldn't disclose any confidential information.
Yeah, you could also emphasise that logos or branding shouldn't be used without permission.
And photos.
Yeah, good point. So you obviously may have a library of photos that you can draw upon. So do set these aside when you know that, you know, they've been pre-approved.
So specifically, the policy can identify which platforms are being used and why they've been chosen. Is it because you use Twitter to link to more in-depth Facebook posts? Mm-hmm. Are you using Instagram to showcase pictures of your products?
Yeah, and how often are you posting on these platforms too? You know, there are obviously benefits for setting out the frequency of posts. Mm. You know, also helps take the pressure off finding content.
Absolutely right. Actually, there's a really good formula from Marketing Wisdom, which says that the ideal Twitter profile should consist of about 30% conversational replies. Mm-hmm. That's where you reply directly to a tweet.
Right.
30% straightforward retweets and 40% interesting broadcast tweets. So hopefully you'd add an opinion or a link.
Right.
And of which only about 25% of those are self-promotional. So that's actually selling your own products,
right,
or services.
So that's 10%
of total tweets, yeah.
Right, okay, so you're going to get me on a rant here, Liz. Uh-oh. If we start talking about the balance, because as I often have to point out to clients, social media isn't necessarily about return on investment, unless, of course, you're selling products, which, you know, many of us aren't. It is about presence, relationship building, and being always at the forefront of people's minds. You know, people have to see marketing, you know, certainly products at least, between 5 to 7 times before they actually act on it. And most importantly, people tend to follow friends' recommendations and speak to like-minded individuals. Mm. So I like to say, remember the 1/3 rule, or the 30% rule, I suppose. 1/3 about you, you know, so share stories and free information. 1/3 about others sharing their content, and 1/3 overt sale. So, you know, whereas we were talking more about Twitter, now we're just talking generalist social media. So listeners, although we're deviating a little, do have a think about this in terms of the content that you're currently putting out there.
Yeah, we had a client, didn't we, who really started talking on social media and sharing other people's content. And then they found their advertising spend reduced dramatically because they started getting more engagement on social media.
Engagement, Liz, that's what social media is all about. So that's really good. So going back to the policy, this can help set out how to respond to those conversational tweets, what types of posts to retweet, and you can also apply the same principle to obviously to Facebook and Instagram, whichever one channels you're using.
Yeah, I think it's also important to set out timescales for responses. Are you going to thank people for following you or for retweeting? And if so, how soon do you do it? Are you going to respond to them individually or wait until you have a few to thank in one go? Mm-hmm. Either's acceptable, but by stating when in your policy, it means it won't get overlooked.
Yeah, so should we mention LinkedIn here as well?
Good idea.
I think a lot of people get confused about how to use LinkedIn when they're representing a business.
Yeah, of course, LinkedIn was originally set up as a platform for individuals to connect and use it like an online CV. It's grown so much and is now an excellent channel for showcasing expertise by publishing blogs and even advertising.
Yeah, before employees could share any business information by obviously creating their own posts from their own personal profiles. However, now you've got company pages and showcase pages. You know, employees can join the page and then share from there.
Yeah, and you've just created one for the Marketing Menu, haven't you?
Yeah, I have.
Excellent.
Pop over there.
Yes. So again, it's very important to set out in your policy who's responsible for posting on the company page, and also the protocol around employees sharing from their personal profiles.
And just before we look at what else needs to be included in the social media policy, let's just remind our listeners that our podcasts are published every fortnight on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, sorry, I don't know where I got the Tuesday from, on either iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher and TuneIn. And of course, they're also completely free. So please do share them with anybody else you feel would benefit.
And we also offer a transcript of all our podcasts, which you can find on our website, themarketingmenu.com. And we're active on social media, as we should be. So you can find us on Twitter and Facebook, posting and sharing good, solid marketing tips and tricks. And you can also find The Marketing Menu on LinkedIn,
as you just said. So back to the social media, Liz. You know, what's going to be included in this then?
Well, at the top of the document, it needs to state the name of your company, who's prepared the document, the date and when it was approved, if relevant, and also when it comes into practice.
Next, it's helpful, I guess, to state who's responsible for what and who the person is responsible and which person is responsible for posting. Are they the same person who is also going to be providing the content? This would particularly apply perhaps if you're in a larger company that has separate, you know, marketing manager, IT manager, customer service, or manager, so on. Yeah.
The best way to find a social media advocate within the company is to seek out the person or team of people who are most passionate about communicating with customers in social media. They may already be doing so without you knowing it. Seek those people out and train them well to represent your brand. Basic advice should include requesting that employees familiarise themselves with the social media channels you're using. Maybe have a look back at how the accounts have been operated in the past and have a look at other accounts that you follow, particularly those that you like or respect. And I think a lot of people sort of shy away from looking at their competitors' accounts, but if they're successful, they're worth checking out, aren't they?
Definitely. That's what almost sometimes the only place I start.
Yes, exactly. Well, yeah, just to give an idea of what's expected and what kind of responses they're getting.
So it might sound really obvious, but it's important to reiterate that employees are expected to be polite when posting and responding and always speak in the business tone of voice.
That's so important, isn't it? And we've said before, it's a good rule to say, don't ever say on social media what you wouldn't say in an email or on the phone.
Yes, it can breed a certain familiarity, can't it? I remember when I first started my business account on Twitter, I was following a celebrity and was tempted to send a tweet in response to a personal, personal opinion they had. But luckily, I remember just in time, this was my business account and it wouldn't have been appropriate.
Yeah, absolutely. Think about what really constitutes social media too. You must have your own, preferably written, definition. And this is especially true because new websites and tools emerge all the time. My personal definition of social media is any website or medium, and that includes video, that allows for communication in the open.
Yeah, plus with any offline or online content written, used, received, developed or saved in company-owned electronics provided to employees, clarify who owns what. There's obviously no question, as an example, about a personal, for example, about a personal blog written by an employee on his own time. If he then leaves your employee, then that blog and that content belongs to him. But the content of the company-owned laptop and the cell phone and the content he wrote for the company website probably in reality, need to be specified in the company in the policy as belonging to the company.
This brings up a good point, actually. You may want to start a personal account so you can share your own opinions, particularly if you have a strong belief. But just be careful if you also share your business posts and people make the connection, you're still representing your business, and the same goes for employees.
Yeah, so establish some ground rules for employee participation in their personal participation on social media. You do walk a fine line with employees. You need to obviously allow them the freedom to engage in social media, and yet you still need to be mindful that you're protecting the company at the same time.
Yeah, good point.
So whilst your employees probably already exercise good common sense when participating online, your social media policy must specifically address, areas of taboo subjects such as confidentiality, non-released company information, it's got to stay out of social media, that sort of thing. And private and personal information about your work and your co-workers and customers must never appear online.
Should we just clarify what non-released company information means?
Well, if you're working on projects or something like that, you know, which, you know, maybe you're developing something, the last thing you want to know is your competitors got wind of it or something
right,
like that.
Right, so if like you're applying for a patent.
Apple had that case, didn't they, when they were releasing information about the iPhone recently? I can't recall exactly, but they had exactly that sort of leaked information.
Right, so that's a good way of thinking of it, is leaked information that you wouldn't want somebody else to know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got you. Good, thanks for clarifying that. The public image of your employees in social media, if they can be associated with your company, does matter. Nastiness, offensiveness, disparaging comments, untruthful statements, demeaning behaviour and, God forbid, illegal substance use are all examples of behaviour that your social media policy must address.
Yeah, so you also need to think about creating a system for obviously monitoring all this. Do make training, though, very easily available to your employees, you know, who want to participate in social media. Try to think win-win. Nobody obviously likes to be bossed around, especially when it comes to their own social networking. However, most people are open to learning about how to behave better and to leverage social media sites further, you know, to further their own careers and their own brands. So most people who make mistakes online just simply don't know any better. Mm.
If you expect your employees to utilise the social networking tools properly, you must provide training, as you say. What they put out there isn't just a reflection of the company, it's a reflection of them. So make it a win-win for everybody.
So back to the policy again, Liz.
Yeah.
Keep saying this. So you may want to set out how employees respond to inquiries, disputes or complaints too. The best advice is always to be polite in the response, but to make sure that conversation goes offline as soon as possible.
Yeah, we talked about that in podcast 11, didn't we? Which was all about gaining fabulous feedback. And you were saying, Nikki, that you have more respect for businesses that you can see have responded quickly to an issue and were obviously dealing with it.
Yeah, for sure. It actually makes me trust them more. But I also feel if you've got this kind of thing set out in your policy, that, you know, there's less room for error.
Mm, yeah, indeed. Other issues you can cover includes safe use of social media, looking out for phishing and scams, security and data protection, and copyright issues.
Yeah, well, I think we should say, listeners here, don't panic. We are going to give you a link to an excellent social media policy template, which is actually produced by Tech Donut, that you can customise for your own business. It's always good to understand why certain areas need to be included.
And yeah, brilliant.
It gives you a nice little starting point that you can then modify.
Yeah, you may, of course, obviously have your own staff handbook that may have areas like these covered, but it's good to have them reiterated in the social media policy for ease of reference.
Yeah, and it is also about staying safe online and protecting whoever is responsible for operating the accounts. So also set out a new policy, ways of dealing with breaches of confidentiality, unacceptable behaviour, or, you know, obviously bringing the company into disrepute.
A lot of what we've talked about obviously relates to bigger companies, but these can equally be applied to smaller businesses. Having a policy that sets out how many times a day you're going to post, how you respond, and your tone of voice is really useful in helping you formulate how you'll manage your social media accounts.
So listeners, shall we just have a little bit of a recap and let's highlight 5 steps that you could take today. So hopefully pen and paper at the ready. The first step is develop a social media strategy. Now try and make this consistent with your goals and objectives. Number two is clearly establish the roles and the responsibilities with respect to social media. 3 is identify risks inherent in the company's social media strategy. Always a good thing. 4, determine key risk practices, including the communication of social media policies, just in case it all goes awry. And finally, implement a process to proactively monitor and respond to what is being discussed about your business online.
Well, that brings us to the end of this podcast, and we hope that what we've shared's been useful. As we mentioned, there will be a link to a template so you can see the type of wording to use and incorporate your own strategy. Perhaps we should also mention, Nikki, that you've been working on our online savvy social media course that sets all this out. So, and so much more if people are interested. So hop over to our website, themarketingmenu.com, to have a look at that too.
Yeah, it's got heaps of content in it, Liz, and it will really help people build their online presence professionally and with engagement at its heart.
So our next podcast will be on the 29th of November, when we're going to be talking about what you need to run your own podcast. And remember, listeners, if you have any interesting stories to share or indeed feedback to any of our podcasts, do please get in touch, as we're always looking for people willing to share some business expertise.
And I think it's important, Liz, that I also mention here, I think for listeners particularly, if they are interested in perhaps a Savvy Social Media training course, that we're actually going to give them 10% discount.
Because they deserve it.
They deserve it. They're worth it. So effectively, listeners, if you are interested in hopping over to the website, themarketingmenu.com, and taking a look at the Savvy Social Media course, or any of the other courses there online at all, do use the code, the coupon code, which is podcast10. There's no spaces in that, just the words podcast10, and you will be able to secure a 10% discount.
Excellent. So that just leaves us to say goodbye from me, Liz.
And goodbye from me, Nikki.
Goodbye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Marketing Menu, brought to you by Nikki Matthews and Liz Gordon. Episodes are every 2 weeks on Wednesdays. Please share, subscribe, or add reviews, and stay in touch for more bite-sized marketing tasters for growing businesses.